So you and Carl and some other people have given me suggestions on if I were to ever start like a TikTok or a social media thing, just little like, oh, you know, this thing would be great if it came from you or whatever. You could have so much success, and I don't know about success, but anyways, all of them have made me feel like,
Don't want to do
oh my God, I
that.
can't. I have no energy or time or drive for that in the slightest. Like, yes, sure, I get it. How my personality matches with your suggestion, with, like health stuff or remodeling stuff or
Get
whatever.
it, you're very
I
intelligent, you're very
get it. I
handsome.
get it. Yeah, I know.
And your suggestions are really good.
I get it. I get it.
Your
But
beard's really trim and there's not that much gray in it. Get
No,
it.
actually, I am starting to see some grays coming in on the top of my head, which is kind of cool. But no, I have found what I am willing to go viral over. I'll allow it.
What an amazing sentence. Wow. Okay.
Title, of course.
Title?
So what I'm drinking right now is the turducken of coffee. It's a I came up with the name Camflero Press. Margaret had a better name, the Flero
Please,
Cam.
please, please give me that one again.
Camflero Press.
Okay, chem. Yep,
Flero
as in
Press.
like
Yes.
chemicals.
No.
Okay. All right. No more
But yeah,
questions.
Margaret's name was a Flero Cam, which is a little bit
Okay.
shorter. I thought, yeah, I think it's adorable. It's great. The chem is short for Chemex, as
Okay.
in the coffee pour over glass brewer. The O-Press is from the AeroPress,
Yes.
and the Flair is the Flair manual espresso maker.
Okay.
And so what I do is brew all three of these at the same time and pour them into the same cup, and that's it. But it takes a long it's a and also all decaf because I'm not insane.
Yeah. So now you're
But
just
damn,
getting
dude,
three quarters of a cup of the caffeine.
it's equivalent to like three half to a three quarters of a regular coffee in terms of caffeine. It is so smooth and rounded, and it's like you get. So it all started with Margaret asked me one morning because we stayed up late. She asked me for a red eye. Do you know what a red have you
No.
are you familiar with that? So that's just a shot of espresso in a black coffee.
Okay.
They call that a red eye. And so I made her a Chemex because that's how I make a coffee, and I made her an espresso with my Flair because that's how I make espresso. And yeah, I sampled it. Turned out great. And then I was like, what if I added the AeroPress
Hmm.
in here too? And it's really great. It's really great. And I think it'd be really f it, it's it'd be so fun to like, have all the little short shots of just the intricacies of each little thing, and it comes together, and they pour it in the cup and pour it in the cup and pour it in the cup, and you drink it. I like to also add a little bit of heavy cream and a dash of maple syrup, to each their own. It's great black as well. And that's my thing.
Wow. Getting adventurous with the.
I
Yeah,
fucking love
okay.
coffee, dude. I love it. I hate it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm yeah. I mean, talk to me about the hate there.
I just, well, I mean, yeah, I know too much. I understand, and that my mom's going through this right now. It's so interesting. Not with coffee, but with the rest of the things. It's like she needs a lot of help where she's living, and she's not getting the help she needs. She called me yesterday to come over to take a statement regarding elder abuse, and because she was left sitting in her soiled brief for over 5 hours. With multiple people coming in and asking her what she needed, and nobody actually came and did the thing. And yeah, so But like, and she says all the time to me, it's like, oh, and to my sister and everybody, it's like, oh, I don't want to be a burden and this and that. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get that. Of course you don't. Nobody does. And in my head, I'm going, we started off with fun coffee stuff, but like, this is a little bit of vulnerability here. Just my internal feelings about my mother. I want to take care. I want her to be okay. She's another human, let alone my mother. And, you know, I'm trying to do what I can. And at the same time, I can't help but know, like, this lifetime of Diet Coke, this lifetime of avoiding the scars from her, how her parents raised her and treated her. And like, yeah, these things are going to lead to chronic diseases. That's the way it works. We don't just, there are certain things that we can just happen upon. It's just bad luck. It happens to us, but, chronic diseases are not one of them. They develop over time based on our habits. Like Socrates knew this, not Socrates, Hippocrates?
Hippocrates, I would have guessed.
The different Ocrates, sorry. Mm-hmm. The other Ocrates.
The one with the oath. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, just, so, so going back to me and my love-hate-ness with coffee, like, I understand how caffeine has caused my fibromyalgia, and it partially, you know, in one of the building blocks of fibromyalgia, mm-hmm. and chronic fatigue syndrome is overstressing my adrenal glands with stimulants like caffeine and sugar. And I have both of those in here and saturated fats with the heavy cream. It's like a perfect thing I'm not supposed to be having. And it tastes so good and it makes me feel happy in the short term. And that's the part I like. I like that part.
And that's the bit that we are as humans wired for.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, we can be whatever and we can read all the fucking whatever, but ultimately we are wired for
I'm short wired. Term, I've got three copies in one.
Short-term safety and, you know, what makes us happy now. That's what the brain wants. And going against stuff like having this metacognition of, like, what you want for the future is really hard because... Your brain right now, the working bit of the brain that makes all the things happen, is like, yeah, but I need this. And like you gave it to me yesterday. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you giving it to me now? And it's like, well, buddy. And it's like, yeah, but it's going to keep screaming for the thing that it's not getting. And it makes...
Yeah, it does. The scream does die down. Mm-hmm. It only takes a couple weeks. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I don't need this. This is fine. I'm good. And then you're like happy without it. And it's just really hard to get to that point.
Yeah, but then there's a reason that we go back to it because
usually happens. Social. It's fucking annoying. Right. Yeah. Other people always wanting you to enjoy things that they're enjoying.
Yeah, because again, it's we need to do that, otherwise we get banished from the tribe and we become it's a whole.
We get banished from the tribe and
never told to come back.
Can we do a title with a high pitch?
Write it all in what's it called? Supercase
title. All right. This isn't the title show.
No. So I don't know whether I should reveal this.
Ooh, tell me, please.
My friend, if I'm going to reveal his idea, I may as well say my friend John Hickman.
I miss Thread.
Yeah, thank you. Thread is a podcast that used to exist. It was basically this, but with two British people.
Yeah.
I'm the common denominator. It was. John had this idea of a podcast that I think was just called Title.
And okay.
The idea was people... You just have a conversation like what we're having.
Yeah.
And then at the moment... someone says something that could legitimately be a good title for the episode, that's the end of the episode. But it's sort of, you have to sort of agree that it's good enough, you know.
That's pretty funny.
I have found what I'm willing to go viral over is pretty good. We don't know yet just, whether
which is just
that
the
will
end.
Become one of
the beginning and the
titles.
End of the episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, that was short. So yeah, you know. I went and did improv last night.
Yeah, how'd that go, man?
That was fun. I met up with someone there that I didn't know was going to be there until 10 minutes before, and the guy who was running it said, hey, the person who's... this is confusing. The person who's actually running this particular session, as opposed to the person who runs the thing as a whole, she says she knows you. Okay. Yeah, all right. I mean, you know, I
know people.
I know people. I moved in some improv circles back in the day. And she said, it's this person. And I was like, you son of a bitch. That's a name I haven't heard in years. And it was a lady that I used to knock around with back in the day as part of my days in youth theatre.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool. It was really lovely. Nice. People's lives, man.
They keep going on and doing things. And they don't even know.
A lot happens in 20 years for some people. For other people.
Other people's 20 years.
Yeah.
What'd they get up to?
Sorry?
What'd they get up to?
Oh, like illnesses and...
Yeah, tell me about it.
Unemployments and now having to find jobs that match energy levels due to chronic...
Familiar.
Yeah, the march of time and just what happens, you know, just to people when they're living their lives. But that aside, it was really cool to see her again. It's interesting how, like, it was very easy. And yet I also remember, and she's not someone who I particularly worry about because she wasn't really the victim of this, but I was a very, like, I mean, it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I was a very different boy.
Yeah. We all were.
And I don't know how much I'm supposed to remember that when I meet up with people from that previous life. And sort of explain myself or explain, hey, I'm different now. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm super not.
Outwardly,
I'm super not. But, like, you know, I think about people more. I think about other people more.
Yeah.
I still ruminate, but hopefully not always about just my own bullshit. I'd like to think I don't try as hard to impress people and become, in the process, difficult to enjoy. Because there's just so much damn effort.
On other people's part? Or on your
my
part?
On my part. Yeah, what's
the effort?
Always trying to be funny, trying to impress in some way, try to be noticed. Trying to be celebrated, trying to be anything other than maybe the mediocre, less than person that I felt at the time. You know, do anything to sort of try bolster that image.
Yeah. And this is the old Mark, or is this the current Mark?
This is the old Mark.
Okay.
What are you saying?
I'm trying to get you to say I'm not saying anything because I don't agree. I'm trying to find out.
Well, you don't know the old Mark.
I don't. Well, no, yeah, exactly.
How can you not agree?
I don't agree with it characterizing you now, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was trying to clarify what you were. Yeah.
I don't think that is me now. No. Although it's interesting. I the last time I caught myself, as it were, I remember doing an audition for an improv, from the first improv house team that I joined. And there was a guy there who ended up being on the team that we subsequently, when we left that team, we created our own. He was one of the early members, and we used to rehearse in his or practice in his flat until such time as we didn't anymore. And I can't remember why. And he still kept coming, but we practiced somewhere else. Anyway, it's fine.
All right.
Yep. I remember meeting him for the first time, and he's a tall strapping young good-looking lad, and I remember having this cognitive moment of like, I was doing my little jig, you know. You know, this is, won't you come home, Bill? But like, you know, just sort of performing for him like a little, what are those little clapping monkeys? And then, and then I caught myself.
Be like a seal.
Yes. Are we, do you know the thing I mean? Like the monkey with the symbols. Psst, psst, psst. Like a monkey with a miniature symbol. Yeah. And I caught myself going, and I was like, what are you doing? You're doing it to him. You're doing it because, and I knew exactly what it was because I think I was this the point I'd started reading the chimp paradox. I don't know, but I definitely had sort of chimps on the brain, and I was like, "You're doing that thing where evolutionarily you've seen him as the pack leader,
sure,
even though he super isn't like he's not." But you've seen him as the dominant male because he's tall and he's clearly symmetrical, you know. And he has an easy way about him.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. And his girlfriend at the time was, I think they're still together. And they might be more close now. I can't remember. They might be married.
Sure, they've grown closer together.
Yeah, I'm sure over time they've grown closer together. They might even almost love each other at this point.
I hope for them.
She's like movie star attractive. Like you don't meet often. Like, whoa. Like, you're the sort of people talk about unrealistic expectations of beauty.
Sure.
And so, you know, and he's a, you know, clearly a young strapping lad. And so like all of that is like, you know, he now is obviously the head of the tribe. And so I must impress him. I've got to dance for him.
Sure.
And I think I caught myself doing that. And then instantly I was like, oh, I think I resent you now.
Oh no.
A little bit. And like I never like fully bought his bullshit. And I don't mean like he is bullshit, but you know what I mean? Like
sure.
People just don't, they're not charmed by you.
Yeah. You're just kind of cynical of him at that point.
Yeah. It's like, and he was just a dude. He was just a guy, but I wasn't falling for it. Yeah. And it kind of brought me back to like, I don't know, school days of, I don't know, like, cause I, you know, I've never been a person who's competed on the sort of, on the physical. He's also a very smart, intelligent man. He was a professor, and so it's like,
dang,
fuck, yeah, of science, you know, it's like, well, can't compete. I guess all I've got is resentment because I can't beat him in any other way. I'm not really funnier than him. I'm less likable.
I guess
I hate him now. It's my only option. You are now my sworn enemy. But I didn't meet anyone like that yesterday, although I did end up getting on the floor and getting extraordinarily close to someone I'd never spoken to before.
And calling emergency services on accident?
No.
Not this time.
No, not this time. Not this time.
You got really close to somebody? How would that happen?
Yeah, so we did an exercise where we were mirroring each other's movements.
Okay.
And so the first time, A mirrors B, or actually she did it there, and she's like, she went, hey, you choose who is A and who is B. And with me being visually impaired, I was like, well, I'll lead first because that'll be easier than me trying to follow you. And then she was like, okay, so B is gonna lead. I'm like, you son of a bitch. So foiled again. So he started off, and I say to him, hey, don't make any small movements because I won't see him. And so we start doing stuff, and so I've just got to mirror what he's doing, and then we swap over, and then we do one where neither is supposed to lead. So you're just reacting to each other. And yeah, it went places. Lots of bending. Lots and lots of, like, got twisted up like a straw. Like a bendy straw. And then we did the final version was There was a line, a grain in the, or a seam in the wood paneling of the floor. And so we all lined up against that. And, you know, your counterpart is in front of you and you do the same thing. But this time we had more opportunity to explore the space. And yeah, we like properly like started lying down and doing all sorts of like, it got very sleepy. And then we started rising up and the facilitator was like, and if other, you know, you can interact now with other people and try and mirror them and stuff. And so we ended up with this thing with us on the floor, slowly getting up, and two people who'd come to us like forming a kind of arch above us with their hands, not touching, but sort of bending forwards, and they were mirroring themselves and we're mirroring it. And it like created this weird sort of fun little moment. And it was, yeah, it was kind of nice to be very present.
Awesome.
And then I had a session with my dude today.
About, yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, about the giving oneself the space to respond. Because I kind of grew up with a lot of policing of the way I communicated.
Interesting.
And the way I responded to things was often sort of policed and judged. And, you know, my communication was often... it was wrong. It was just like, it was wrong.
Sure.
And wasn't necessarily a lot of curiosity about that. And
on whose part? On which party?
On the party of the members
accuser.
Of my family.
Sure.
The accuser.
Yeah.
And so I sort of, how I got there isn't too important, but it got me to thinking about how I respond to like certain questions. And like someone might ask me a question or someone might say something that's, you know, like mocking or scoffing or something, which I fucking hate being scoffed at.
Scoffing something that your parents did?
Yes, but I think that's not... I don't think that's why I dislike it.
Uh-huh.
But it is also something that... yeah. There was a sort of, you know, thing that would happen when someone would say something. The eyes would roll and you'd hear this, like...
Click and a snort?
A tut and a sort of... I'm slightly overdoing the snort for audio effect. But, you know, there would be words, sure, as well, but like, sure, you know, it would always be accompanied by this, like, you know, big eye roll and... God. Anyway, so I might have a reaction to, or a response to someone who's, you know, crossed a boundary, or I feel, you know, defensive or whatever. And I might react or become a bit closed off in my response, you know, maybe a bit clipped, maybe a bit bristly. And what I realized is that in 42 years, that became the problem. That became the offense. Was it wasn't the thing that caused me to bristle.
Mm-hmm.
It was the reaction. It was me bristling that was the problem. That was the unacceptable thing. And I just had this lovely moment in the session today where I just sort of, I'd found myself tensing up talking about certain things, and I noticed it in my body. And as I started talking about this, I started to unclench, and I found this sort of space as I started to think about what would it look like to have latitude? What would it look like to just respond in the way that I wanted to respond?
Mm-hmm.
And then if that if that raised an issue, then having the ability to actually talk about what that response was,
yeah,
rather than
yeah
judging it straight or holding it in lest it be wrong, lest it be the wrong response. And thus then that becomes the crime, you know.
Yeah.
Because like I learned certain shitty conversational tactics as a kid because they worked. Like I learned that if you spoke over someone or if you were condescending to them, you know, if you use certain trigger phrases, because like they were effective on me. So I was like, well, obviously that works.
yeah.
But it turns out, like, I don't want to make people feel that way. But it was the way that I learned that you, like, if you can't win an argument, it's a way that you can stop it and then make the conversation about something else. And then the conversation becomes about how you were condescending.
Sure. Yes. Because deflecting and, not want to be blamed for how the interaction has gone. You're making me think about a lot of the stuff that Margaret is learning in her Montessori teacher training about how when kids are, the way a child's brain, apparently it's like alien to us. It's like an entirely different being, the way that they absorb information and take it in, and then it changes after like age 6 or 7, and you're creating not only the world but reality. Like you're conceptualizing all the rules of nature and the rules of society and social interaction and all these things. You're observing how your parents interact with each other and other kids and all these things. And I don't know, it's been on the brain a lot because she's been talking about it a lot. And so I'm just seeing it a little bit through that lens. Not that you were that young, I don't know, but just, you, one picks up, how to speak from the people around them. Like you can only,
especially if you're perceptive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which, you know, I can sort of, oh man, the amount of gaslighting that can come with being perceptive or being sensitive, you know. And again, like that that in my house, I don't know what it was like for you, and it might the word sensitive in our house, and you know, maybe this is fairly common with like working class backgrounds, is not a good thing. It's a criticism. Because, you know, you've got a thin skin, you can't take a joke, or whatever.
Sure.
All that kind of stuff. Rather than what it really means is that you are open to a lot of, you know, stimuli. And you are perceptive and receptive. You know, receptive is in some ways maybe a better word for that kind of thing. And so if you are perceptive, you notice certain things and you pick up and you go, and they get scribbled in your little book and you go, well, that tactic obviously works because it shut me the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah. You're reminding me of, when I was in school, I was also like, I was not, jumpy or jittery, but I would have a quick reaction time. If somebody threw something at me or whatever, like I would dodge or, you know, if they, like they would pretend to throw something at me, I would flinch. And then I could just get laughed at so much for flinching, and I trained that out of me. And now when something comes at me, I don't react.
It's, wow.
Yeah. I just let it hit me.
Bam.
Like, okay, you got me.
Oh. I hate that. That whole, well done, you got me. It's like, I hope this went how you thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
Well done. And the gaslighting that can come with that is when I think sometimes if you are perceptive, you can notice behaviors in other people that they don't necessarily notice themselves or they didn't intend. And it's like, well, I still picked that up. I didn't make it up. I picked that up from somewhere. But and then the gaslighting is like, no, you didn't. You made that up, or you're just imagining things, or you put thoughts in it, or, you know, you overthink. And it's like, okay, you definitely looked at me like I was a piece of shit then. So that's how I received that, you know. But sure, gaslighting me and tell me it was all in my head, absolutely.
Yeah, That makes it all better. No, it never happened.
On the positive of it all, I think I like the idea of, because it comes back to a conversation we've had and I had last week or the week before with my guy about the difficult question, what if I'm wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What if I have a reaction?
Yeah.
And that's the wrong reaction, or I was, you know, sure, I was incorrect or based on incorrect data or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, but what if it wasn't about right or wrong? Or what if it was about giving yourself the latitude to have a natural response?
Mm-hmm.
And then if that causes an issue, have a conversation about that response. You know, the example I was walking through today was, I get sometimes low level kind of prickly about, like, people often ask well-meaning questions about, like, if they're a supportive type person, they might ask, you know, like, do you need help reading the specials on the board if we're at a cafe or whatever?
Sure.
And I kind of just want the situation to go away and not be there. I want to, you know, sort of, I just want it to not be a thing, because I'm then conscious of being looked at by other people, and you know, turning heads and going, what's going on here? What's he need? You know, and all that stuff, which is all bollocks. It's fine, mm-hmm. but it's the world that I live in.
Sure.
And so that can then cause me to sort of, you know, be maybe a little bit like, no, I'm good, you know, or you know, people will ask curious questions, and I'm sort of, I don't have the sort of spacious, open, kind, patient response that I might have when someone asks me a question like, how much can you see? Because what I want to say is, I don't know, fucking dickhead, I haven't got your vision to compare it to, is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not kind. And so what I end up doing is sort of being a little bit like, you know, and it was interesting to explore that question of like, well, what if that was how you responded?
Mm-hmm.
And then I play, you know, as I always do, like I played, unspooled the scenario in my head of that happening, and what I imagine happening is the other person sort of clams up, and then if they're a certain type of person, maybe later, probably via WhatsApp later in the day, they say, I hope I didn't upset you or offend you or make you feel awkward, which would then give me the opportunity to explain why I reacted the way I did. And it would be fine, because I could say, no, you did nothing wrong. You asked a perfectly reasonable question. But it's a question that I get asked a lot, and I don't always have a good answer. And sometimes I'm, you know, I get a bit bored having to think up an answer, and I don't like repeating myself, but you didn't do anything wrong. That's why I reacted the way we did, the way I did. And then it can probably be fine. Rather than, and at another moment, I've sort of leaned back in my chair and I was like, I just, my sort of head was like on the sofa, just like lolling as I just thought about the hours of wasted time on metacognition of how I responded, because that always ends up being the story. Not, this person offended me, or this person was a dick, or this person said something unthinking, or whatever. The story becomes, you were rude to them and you need to justify yourself, or you need to do something, or you just need to spend a whole bunch of time going over whether you do or do not need to apologize, and how dare you think you have to apologize, but no, you have to apologize. But so many wasted hours.
Yeah, man. Is there a path that you can that you can imagine.
Visualize was a perfectly fine word.
to reacting differently initially, to like accepting them reading the specials board, or, you know, whatever other instances people
that is
encounter.
Further work that needs to be done.
I'd love to read you the specials board, man.
that
gives your friend something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, mate. It's tricky stuff.
Yeah, I bet.
Because, and it's a courtesy that I would have no problem extending to other people. And, you know, there are other ways in which I facilitate other people's needs in the work that I do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I find it very difficult to say, like, I need this.
Help. I relate so much. Obviously, I don't have your experience, but, like, with my experience of chronic disease and no longer being able to do the work that I'm doing every day, and then having to have somebody else come and do, like, the physical work there, and then, just being having times where I have just absolutely no energy and I need somebody else to do things when I value it within myself doing and doing for others, and like either needing to say yes to somebody who is asking me, hey, can I help you with that? Or even approaching them and being like, hey, can you do this for me? Oof, that was a struggle internally. That's hard work.
It is. And that reminds me of another thought that I'd had on the sofa, with my guy, which was about opening the door to letting other people figure out or explore how they can help you, rather than closing it. Because I got the question at the end of the night last night. The guy who actually runs the whole thing was like, I gather you're visually impaired. What can we do to, you know, help facilitate you?
Yeah.
And as always, I'm like, well, you know, it's... and again, I kind of just wanted the conversation to be not having. I was like, well, the onus is on me, not on you. Meaning, it's, you know, my responsibility to ask for help. Which, okay, but... if your tendency is to ask for help at the very end of your tether, or ask for the meagerest amount of help that you think you can ask for, or that you think you deserve.
Or try to avoid asking for as long as possible.
For as long as possible.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's one route you could go. The other route is, what if you opened the door and said, I don't know. I don't know. What do you have in mind, or whatever, or you know, can we keep this open and I'll let you know, or thank you. I'll give it, like, just leaving it, or even saying not really, but, or not right now, but if you can bear me in mind when you're coming up with games that we do, you know, like allowing them to open the door, especially if they've opened it themselves, and actually wedge it open, rather than like, no, I will ask for the crumbs that I deserve when I think I need them the most. But actually, it's kind of, I'm thinking like in terms of space, of allowing that door to be open, and allow them to figure out how they can help you.
That's what community is.
And then
like trying to trying to say no and then speaking your needs at the time of need, while still valid, it puts other people in an immediate position of needing to adjust or change or whatever the situation calls for, whereas they could have prepared for it and made it easier for themselves and you.
I declared it at the beginning when we were going, you know, having names being introduced or whatever, I could have said, hey, just so you know, before we crack on, I'm blind. I might miss some cues.
Yeah.
Now you know. Crack on.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's a thing that gets born in mind.
Yeah.
But what a horrible thought to be born in mind, you know? Like, take up space, Brendan.
It's amazing how much you love the spotlight and hate it at the same time. It's like, it's your coffee.
It's this came up actually in a podcast I was listening to this morning. About I think more interesting than they realized themselves in the conversation they were having. They're comparing comedians to actors.
Okay.
And how actors, conversely, or not conversely, actors, perhaps against expectation, are very happy to look silly.
Sure.
Because, well, we don't need to necessarily worry about the because, but they are happy to walk around a room. And it is, one of them was talking about being at the Royal Shakespeare Company and doing a workshop there or something, and having to walk around the room going, "I'm wonderful," and like big from the chest and speak that out. And, mm-hmm. and they, as a comic, were just cringing and absolutely hated it. Mm. And she, I think it was either she or one of the interviewers made the observation that, but then as comics, our job is to be silly.
Yeah.
But then someone else made the very good point of, yes, but we are in control of that.
Mm.
And that's the bit that stuck with me. It's the mm-hmm. silliness is bottled and they've got the finger on the thumb on the stopper, and they can control when that comes out and when it's permitted and when it's allowed. Mm-hmm. And in short bursts or in whatever bursts they see fit, judging by the situation and the people and the, you know, all the things that a probably socially awkward person is, you know, or a neurodivergent person is trying to navigate. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for me anyway, when I think about vulnerability. It's absolutely about control. I cannot, the thought of releasing control and being truly like vulnerable. I mean, you know, I guess I practiced it a little bit when I had my massage. You know, in sort of you're being taken in someone's hands and letting them sort of drive, I guess, and trusting
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a slightly different thing. But yeah, I don't know that I've ever been vulnerable in an embodied sense. God almighty, this is an intolerable podcast to listen to. I'm so sorry. That's more for the listener, not for you. I'm sure, you know, you're my friend and that's fine.
Yes, I'm having a great time.
I know you're happy to have this conversation.
I'm pretty sure everyone listening is also our friend. So.
Yeah, pretty much. I forget, actually.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking like sometimes we're a little bit late, or we skip an episode or this or that. And I was thinking, it doesn't matter. It's not like we have thousands or millions of listeners. No. It's not a big deal. And then it hit me. If we had thousands or millions of listeners, I don't know that'd a single one of them. I don't care about, like, I generally care, but I don't like care about any, I don't know any of them.
No.
But we pretty much know all of our listeners, and they're the important people to us.
Yep.
So why wouldn't we be on time? Why wouldn't we
why wouldn't we be forgiven if we missed?
Of course, of course, of course. But I like,
of course,
I,
it, of course it is, of course, of it, is, of course, course it is, of course it is. Of course
it is. Call back. But yeah, it just occurred to me, like, oh, I want to, and not that I need to always be on time or never miss an episode. That's not the point at all. But the framing in my mind of it doesn't matter because it's just the people I know. It's like, no, actually, these are the people, these are the important, you listener, you're the important people.
Yeah, you are.
Important person. You're the important person. Singular.
Well caught.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I love that, man. Topic change.
Thank God for that.
Where's the line for declaring AI usage?
Ooh.
I like the idea of something being, you know, watermarked or branded or labeled or whatever, that it's that AI was used for it. And I'm curious, what should be the line? Should any use at all, should that be tagged AI? If it's just like, you know, tweaking something that a person already made, that person made, should that be titled? You know, obviously, I think obviously that if it's completely AI generated, maybe just from a prompt, then it should be labeled. But I don't know, where's the line? Is it somewhere in the middle I didn't describe? What do you think?
My first reaction was thinking like it's harder to find the line because so many of the, like, you know, we edit in Descript.
What is
but
how do we,
they didn't, like, AI is in many ways a marketing term at the moment more than it is anything else.
Yeah.
And it's what we might have called a couple of years ago machine learning.
Yeah.
So like the transcription engine, for example, that's just, it's machine learning. It's not artificial intelligence in the way that, it's not generative AI. And that's probably the big key.
Generative, yeah.
Is the generative bit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like,
So,
go for it.
The reason why I asked is I used ChatGPT to punch up my blog post that I recently posted about the garage remodel.
I saw a title and I thought, that looks like it might have been.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I wrote the whole blog post and it was just a good little editor of saving me probably 2-3 hours of revising.
Yep.
And I'm really happy to save that time because writing is exhausting for me. Mm-hmm. But like I wrote all the, it didn't know what I did. Yep. So it couldn't have made the post without me telling it. And then I was just, and then I showed it with Margaret and Margaret was like, oh wow, this is like the best blog post you've ever written. And then like a beat. And then she's like, did you use ChatGPT?
You use AI, you little scamp.
and then she was like, I immediately regret saying that. Not because like, not anything bad about me, but just like, I'm sorry that I complimented ChatGPT instead of you on accident, like that kind of situation. And it was really cute. But then it kind of got me thinking, like, should that have been declared? Should I put a little note at the end just saying like, AI was used to edit this post or something? Then I would want to be like, AI was used to edit the words of this post, not the photo. Like the photos are real. And so it's like all this declarative statements is like, and then does it even matter? Like also like our just recent discussion about who's listening to the podcast, who's looking at my blog post is also very small and just mostly people that I already know. And maybe some people I'm about to meet, but it's not like,
I'm going to take a stance.
Please do.
No, doesn't matter. Doesn't need to be done. Okay. Because we in that instance.
Okay, sure. It's like because, a fancy spell check anyway.
Well, that was the point. That's where I was going to go. It's like 20 years ago when,
yeah,
or even a little before that, like I remember, as I'm sure you do, when computers weren't powerful enough to do spell check as you typed.
Yeah.
You had to run it.
He had to hit the button.
Yeah. You had to hit the button. And then it would loop through all the words.
Yeah.
And it was a revelation towards the late 90s, early 2000s.
When it would just automatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The new versions of Microsoft Word would red squiggly line. So is red squiggly line correction something that needs to be declared?
I use spell check on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's necessary.
Or the clippy saying it looks like you're writing a letter. Do you want me to format this as a letter? This document was created using the assistance of Clippy.
Why isn't there Microsoft should have an AI thing called Clippy. Like I don't understand.
Oh, it's because everyone hates it.
I know, but they also love it. No. I mean, it was annoying, of course, but that was because it was the old Clip. Like they got to revitalize Clippy. That's all I'm saying.
They gotta do it. I enjoyed the way you said that. They gotta revitalize Clippy.
Title.
It's going in.
No.
No. It's just the way you said it.
Yeah.
Revitalize Clippy. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
And like I use it every day with the show notes that I have to write because that is a process that I do not enjoy, and it's the main reason I still use the script is because it gives me a transcript that differentiates the different people speaking that I can then put into Notion and get a good summary.
Nice.
But then I tweak it and make it, you know, read a little bit better and, you know, whatever. I have no compunction about that. And you know, if my clients ever ask, I'll say, yep. Because I confident the reason that I do it does a better job than I would, because
yeah,
and I've, you know, it's something I've mentioned many times before, but it's like, you know, editing audio is a very, you're in the weeds, and then writing show notes is you have to be able to view the whole thing out again and yeah, look at what the most
the
important
bigger picture
thing is. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't do those like at the same, it's bad. It's like, it's yeah, trying to do those at the same time. And I, you know, I'm sure you've come across this. Like, for I sure, used to write show notes. Like, I'd start sentences being like, this is what the episode is about. And so I'd start writing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, actually it's about a completely different thing. And then you'd have to stop and then write again. And all what ends up happening is just the show notes are a litany of what happened, which is kind of what these show notes are, because I'm not trying to SEO our show notes. Yeah. But if you are for a client,
yeah,
you know, then
this completely reminds me of another area of struggle that's so similar. And I didn't really make the connection, like that part of where you, it's hard to see the bigger picture while you're editing the small picture. Like, you're in the waveforms and you're not thinking about the conversation as a whole.
Sometimes you're not even thinking about individual words. You're just, yeah, like, I need to get rid of that sound.
Yeah. It reminds me so much of when I'm on a job, on a remodel, and somebody, like, I'm busy doing a task, and they ask, okay, well, how much would it be to, and how many days would it take for you to do this extra thing? And then I'm like having to zoom back out again. I'm like, okay, well then, you know,
right now I'm just trying to screw this handle into this, yeah, door.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find the right screws to insert. And so I've got to find the right box with the right screws. That's the land I'm living in right now.
Yeah. 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 It's even as much as like when I'm going through a walkthrough and somebody's telling me all the things that they want to do, and they're like, all right, can you give me a ballpark? And I'm like, no, I'm going to sit down and think about this. I'm going to make a line item document here that adds it all up for me. I'm not going to use my brain to give you a number. No. Anyways, no. That just helped me give a little grace for myself in that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. It's hard for me to do,
yeah,
that.
No, absolutely. And so, yeah, like no shade, no lemonade on that one. Yeah. I got... someone tried to shame me, and then I said, listen, I'm going to run things how I run them, and you're not going to tell me how to run them. But someone tried to give me shade over using an AI image. It's cute as hell. Mm-hmm. It's three reindeers in a pop band. Three reindeer in a pop band with microphones and stuff.
Adorable.
And they're all like, you know, like a pop group. And I posted it to the WhatsApp group, and... got some thumbs up and whatever, and then someone tried to rebuke me for doing it, and literally was like, don't do that. Like, okay,
well, wow, finger wag shit.
I'm gonna not listen to someone who tells me not to do something in that way. So yeah, and like, yeah, okay, that's, you know, that's, and it, like, it was as if this person was trying to catch me, like, that wasn't created by a human, was it? No, it wasn't. Well, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you. And so, okay, you're like, does it...
Only oil paintings for you, sir.
Yeah, no, exactly. So this is the thing. It's like, what is... When it becomes about whether we need to declare things, like, as you know, I did some declarations in Undo, which I'm due to be celebrating tomorrow. When I go to the British, to the Independent Podcast Awards.
It's tomorrow. Amazing.
It's 2 days best ago, luck, as the listeners heard this. Thank you. So, it, you know, when I was using, you know, and I like, ummed and ahed over this, about especially the first one, which was the Dwight D. Eisenhower, because I had a recording of a speech he'd given in a particular year, and I had a different speech that he'd given in the same year, but only the words, not the recording, because one, as far as we were aware, didn't exist. And so I used one to make the other, and I declared it. I said at the end of the episode, I'd never made him say anything that he didn't say, but I used AI to do this.
Fucking cool as shit. I loved it.
Yeah. And... that's responsible use of, or declaration, yeah, of AI. People, yeah, can still argue you shouldn't have done it because, sure, you know, that's fine. That's okay. But I'm being straight with you and said, you know, I didn't make him say that Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. I made him read words that he'd already read.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a case at which you sort of say, yeah, okay, declaration, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It is down to, are you trying to make someone believe? Are you trying to make a reason? I'm almost making a legal case for it in my head. Like,
mm-hmm.
are you trying to make a reasonable person believe something that would not be true without intervention by AI?
That's a good marker. I like that.
That would be mine. It's like,
mm-hmm.
if you want to use an AI, if you had created, as I've heard now, like real estate agents are using AI images to sell properties.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen some of that stuff, and
That's deception. Like, it's low level because you should go and see the property. And if you buy a property unseen without walking through it, you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Not to victim blame, but like that's deception.
Yeah.
You're trying to use AI to make something believe something that is not true. Make someone believe something that is not true.
Right.
You didn't do that. You weren't trying to make someone believe because you didn't use AI to.
Right.
Now, even if you'd used, in
you
my
don't
book anyway,
don't love me anymore. Hmm. Forgive me. Even. Never. Carry on. Sorry.
Okay.
I interrupted for no reason.
These things happen. If, on the other hand, you had used machine learning to get rid of a few spare bits of scraggly bits of cat litter that a cat had dragged in over your nice clean floor, or there was a shadow, or like there was your shadow from where you were taking the photo, and the shadow was, you know, all along the floor or whatever, and you used AI to remove it, you might want to declare it. And just say, but I would actually probably not, because then it makes people think, why else did you remove? But again, you're not trying to deceive someone.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a line, but I don't think you are, you know.
Okay. Well, okay. So the when I got those photos taken of the garage, my friend also took a couple headshots of me. And I was wearing, thank you. I was wearing a shirt that said, Milwaukee, which is the brand of tools that I use, and it's a comfortable shirt, but I didn't really want to be promoting Milwaukee.
Oh, sure, okay.
So I used the little repair tool to just bloop. I didn't use like an AI chat thing, but I did use
a lot of that is tool. Like generative fill and all that kind of stuff is based on machine learning. Yeah,
and so
because he's got to know what a shirt fabric looks like without letters on it.
Uh huh. I have no like. That's not deceiving anybody. They didn't care who made my shirt. Yep. But I also used it on the crown of my head to make my hair look a little fuller. So that is kind of deceiving people a little bit.
Okay.
Making me look a little bit younger and healthier.
Does that
I don't know.
Make you more hireable? Because you've got a slightly higher hairline.
Maybe.
Do you think that?
I mean, if
or is it a little bit of vanity to which somebody, you are entitled?
If that was the make or break line, I don't think I want to work with them anyway. So maybe I should leave it up.
I had two great remodelers. One of them had a 5 head. The other one had a little bit more on top.
I'm going with
then
that.
Then we met and You don't have a 5 head, by the way.
You
have a lovely head of hair.
I don't know what I don't know what a 5 head is. I've never heard that term before.
Like a 4 head, and then more of it.
Yeah. It's not receding. It's just thinning. It's just
No, I had my vanity moment today when I was at the barber's. And the guy was like, do you want to keep your beard at the same length? And I was like, no, there's too much grey in his hand. And he's like, you don't like grey in your beard? No, I like grey in my beard. I don't want my beard to be grey. I don't want it all to be grey. I'd like grey in my beard. But now it's just becoming grey and it's making me look a lot older than I am.
Yeah.
And
you look
you know,
fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
Even with the grey beard.
Yeah, you know, and there's like Mark there's Gray a little beard. Bit of like sort of a hint of like darkness here, which is nice. And so there's, you know, there's a a swish of gray through it, but like, you know, it does make it does make me look it. But it's like, I'm not as old as this beard makes me look. What would happen if I dyed it? I think a piece of me might die inside.
You'd die from dying.
Yeah. I don't know if I could row back from being a guy who dyes his hair. And no shade on anyone who... Well, no shade on anyone.
No shade.
It's just not... I don't have that level of vanity. But, you know, like, I pick and choose the photos that, you know...
Of course. We all do.
I really think it comes down to, are you trying to gain something?
Deceive people. Yeah.
That... through both are you trying to fool people, and you know that's it.
Yeah. And no, I, you know, I just wanted to make it better to read. I wanted to make it more pleasurable to read. And also, I'm not even like, I don't even put my name on the blog post. I'm not trying to say I wrote all these words. I'm just saying, like, here's...
But then, you know, if you wrote a book and an editor came along and made suggestions, and you implemented those suggestions, you're still the author of the book.
Yeah.
Still your book.
Yeah. So, and as always, disillusionment means healthy self-advancement. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks!
You're pondering that one.
Delusionment means...
Did I say that wrong?
No, probably not.
Disillusionment.
Yeah.
Means healthy self-advancement. You were illusioned, and then you've been disillusioned, so then you progress.
Ooh. Okay. Shit. Where are these bon mots coming from?
The Mystic Path to Cosmic Power by Vernon Howard.
Thank you, Vernon.
Thank you, Vernon.
Praise be to Vernon.